Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today. Shalom, Johanna here, your reader today. Today is Tuesday, the 16th of April and the 8th of Nisan on the Hebrew calendar. Today in history, the priests would enter the first temple to reconsecrate it during King Hezekiah's reign from 2 Chronicles 29:17. Now they began to the consecration on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they entered the porch of the Lord. Then they consecrated the house of the Lord in 8 days and finished on the 16th day of the first month. This week, our parasha, or portion from the Torah, is called Metzorah, which means leper. And today we're starting in Leviticus 14, verse 21 through 32. Before we get into our readings, let's take a moment to bless God and thank Him for His precious word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. If he is poor and cannot afford so much, then he shall take one male lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make atonement for him, plus 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mingled with oil for a grain offering, a pint of oil, 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to afford. The one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. On the 8th day, he is to bring them to the Kohen for his cleansing, at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. The Kohen is to take the lamb of the trespass offering and the pint of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. He is to slaughter the lamb of the trespass offering. The Kohen is to take some of the blood of the trespass offering and dab it on the tip of the right ear of the one being cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The Kohen shall then pour some of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. He is to sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. Then the Kohen is to dab some of the oil that is in his hand on the tip of the right ear of the one being cleansed, also on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. On top of the place of the blood of the trespass offering, the rest of the oil that is in his hand, the Kohen is to dab on the head of the one being cleansed, to make atonement for him before the Lord. He is to offer 1 of the turtle doves or the young pigeons from what his hand can afford, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, with the grain offering. The Kohen shall make atonement for him, being cleansed before the Lord. This is the Torah for one on who is the mark of Tzaharat, who is not able to afford the sacrifice for his cleansing. That was Leviticus 14:21-32. And now, for our portion today from the prophets, we'll be reading Isaiah 36. Now, it came to pass in the 14th year of King Chizkiyahu that King Sennacherib of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Yehuda and captured them. The king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Chizkiyahu with a massive army. The Rabshakeh stood by the aqueduct of the upper pool in the highway of the washer's field. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was in charge of the palace, Shebna the scribe, and Yoah, son of Asaph the recorder, came out to him. So the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Chizkiyahu, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this confidence you've relied on? I say, your strategy and strength for war are only words of a lip. Who do you rely on now, so that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you rely on this splintered reed as a staff, Egypt. If a man leans on it, it will go into the palm of his hand and pierce it. Thus Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and altars Chizkiyahu has removed, and then said to Yehuda and to Jerusalem, 'You must not worship before this altar'? So now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you could put riders of your own on them. So how can you repulse a single lieutenant, the least of my master's servants? Yes, you are relying on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen. Moreover, have I now come up against this land to destroy it without the Lord's approval? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Then Eliakim and Shebna and Yoah said to the Rabshakeh, "Please, speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Don't speak to us in the language of the Jews when the people on the wall are listening." But the Rabshakeh said, "Has my master sent me only to your master and to you to speak these words? Hasn't he sent me to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat their own waste and drink their own urine with you?" Then the Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the language of the Jews and said, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, don't let Chizkiyahu deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Chizkiyahu persuade you to trust in the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us.' This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Chizkiyahu, for thus says the king of Assyria, 'Make peace with me and come out to me. Then everyone will eat from his own vine and fig tree, and everyone will drink water from his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware that Chizkiyahu does not mislead you by saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamat and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, when did they deliver Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their country out of my hand? So will the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" But they were silent and did not answer him a word, for the king's commandment was, "Do not answer him." Then Eliakim, son of Chilkiyahu, who was in charge of the palace, and Shevna the scribe, and Yoah, the son of Asaph the recorder, came to Chizkiyahu with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. That was Isaiah 36. And our portion today from the writings, the Ketuvim, is Proverbs chapter 17. Better is dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A wise servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share the inheritance with the brothers. A crucible is for silver, and a furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, a liar listens to a malicious tongue. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. Whoever rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. Grandchildren are the crown of the elder, and the glory of the children is their parents. Arrogant lips are not fitting for a fool, much less lying lips for a ruler. A bribe is a charm in the eyes of its owner. Wherever he turns, he succeeds. Whoever covers up an offense seeks love. Whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. A rebuke makes a greater impression on a discerning person than 100 lashes on a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than to deal with a fool in his folly. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will never leave his house. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so stop a quarrel before it breaks out. Acquitting the wicked and condemning the righteous, both are an abomination to the Lord. Of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no intention of acquiring wisdom? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man lacking judgment shakes his hand on a deal and puts up financial security for his neighbor. He who loves sin loves strife. One who builds a high gate invites destruction. A perverse heart finds nothing good. A devious tongue falls into trouble. Whoever fathers a fool gets grief. There is no joy for the father of a disgraceful son. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The wicked one receives a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of the justice. Wisdom is before the person of understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bore him. Also, to punish a righteous person is not good, nor to beat up an honorable one for his integrity. One with knowledge restrains his words, and a discerning person stays calm. Even a fool who keeps quiet is considered wise, discerning if he seals his lips. That was Proverbs, or Mishle, 17. And now our portion today from the apostles is 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an emissary of Messiah Yeshua, to the sojourners of the diaspora in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, set apart by the Ruach for obedience and for sprinkling with the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, may grace and shalom be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, In his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead, an incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance has been reserved in heaven for you. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this greatly, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. These trials are so that the true metal of your faith, far more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may come to light in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Messiah Yeshua. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you trust him and are filled with a joy that is glorious beyond words, receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The prophets who spoke about the grace that was to be yours searched for this salvation and investigated carefully. They were trying to find out the time and circumstance the Ruach of Messiah within them was indicating when predicting the sufferings in store for Messiah and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were providing these messages not to themselves, but to you. These messages have now been announced to you through those who proclaim the good news to you by the Ruach HaKodesh, sent from heaven. Even angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. So brace your minds for action, keep your balance, and set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. Like obedient children, do not be shaped by the cravings you had formerly in your ignorance. Instead, just like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in everything you do. For it is written, Kadoshim you shall be, for I am Kadosh. If you call on him as Father, the one who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, then live out the time of sojourning in reverent fear. You know that you were redeemed from the futile way of life handed down from your ancestors, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with precious blood like that of a lamb without defect or spot, the blood of Messiah. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your trust and hope are in God. Now that you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth, leading to sincere brotherly love, love one another fervently from a pure heart. You have been born again, not from perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all humanity is like grass, and all its glory like a wildflower. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was proclaimed as good news to you. That was 1 Peter 1. If you are reading through the Apostles twice in this year's reading cycle, you'll be reading Matthew 5, verse 27 through verse 48 today also. Well, I pray that the scriptures have been a blessing to you to listen to today. And before I sign off, I just want to thank every one of you who has been praying for Israel this past weekend. This is my first chance to address you since Israel came under attack from Iran on Saturday night. It was truly unbelievable. I mean, we witnessed the explosions right over our heads as hundreds of rockets rained in, and it wasn't just rockets. it wasn't like what comes from Gaza. It was ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and suicide drones. And somehow, with God's help and the modern warfare miracle that is the IDF and the IAF, the Israeli Air Force, everything was taken care of and we had no casualties. It's a miracle. It was just amazing. So we spent the night in the bomb shelter around 2 a.m. when the missiles reached our airspace and we could see them just overhead. We moved the children down into the bomb shelter, and after a while they settled down and went to sleep sometime toward morning. And honestly, other than a sleepless night, we have moved on, and it's like it didn't even happen. Tonight, this is Monday night, I'm recording for tomorrow, Tuesday, and we've just received news from the Israeli War Council that they are planning a very decisive counterattack against Iran. So we don't know what's ahead or what's coming, and if we will have a lot more disruption through war. But for now, we are thankful for the miracles of God. And I just wanted to give you that little update and to thank you all for praying. We appreciate every one of you, and we just reach out our, you know, wish I could give all of you a hug and sit down for coffee and get to know you. And for now, I'm just so honored and privileged to be able to bring the word of God to your families on a daily basis. So I praise God for this connection that we can all have. And that's it for me. I pray you have a blessed rest of your day. I'm Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms, wishing you shalom from the mountains of Judea. Until next time.